physically united with God. Eternal life begins the moment you decide through faith. It's through faith by grace. And this is the difference. Grace says, I obey because of what's done for me. Law says, I obey because I don't want to be separated with God. Law says, I must do these things so that God will be pleased with me. Grace says, God's pleased with me already, not because of who I am and not because of what I'm done. That's really important to remember. God doesn't look at those who have believed in him, who've had faith in him, who are following him, and has this kind of hierarchy of, well, this person follows me well and this person doesn't. When he looks upon you, he sees literally Christ Jesus. If he didn't, there was no way for us to be united, made one, Paul says, with him. And in addition to that, we are prompted to what? What are we prompted to call out? Abba, Father. When Jesus used that term with the legalists and the religious leaders when he was teaching, man, it caused a lot of problems. That's the Hebrew word for daddy. So picture a toddler going up and raising his or her arms and saying daddy. That's the term that Jesus tells us that we have opportunity to give. In fact, we're told that God's Spirit is in us and we are prompted to identify with God in that way. It doesn't make you uncomfortable? It makes me uncomfortable to call God daddy. It's not that God is buddy Jesus. You know, there's kind of movement. Jesus is, our best friend or buddy. We can go to him with everything. And it's a real lack of respect. But see, the legalists stand so far away from God and fear him so much and misinterpret that word in the Old Testament, fear, as if I don't do the right thing, God's going to get me. God's looking to get me. And that's not what God's doing. That's not fear. Picture a toddler, arms outstretched to daddy, who has sacrificed everything to spend time with him or her. And so you, as a child, as a son, as an heir, know that your father has done everything necessary for you to be in relationship. What do you do for a parent who's sacrificed for you? And you know that. Well, you don't treat him with contempt. You don't hold him far away. There's an intimacy, but there's also a respect, right? There's a respect. Because we want to, when a father or mother who sacrificed for us, when a father or mother who loves us and we respect says jump, we say how high? Not because we're afraid, not because, maybe that's the way we are when we're little, when we're immature, when we understand our walk with Jesus under the law, when that's all we get, because when you first come to Jesus, really that's all you really understand. I better straighten out my actions and live a different way. And then you mature and realize, I can't do that. And you get a fresh perspective on your relationship with Jesus Christ. It all wraps down to what Paul said last week, what I shared last week. Our identity in Christ changes everything. Understanding what your identity in Christ is changes everything. And the Spirit of God placed in you when you believe in faith, Jesus Christ, prompts you to call out to God, Abba, Father. There's a reverence, but there's an intimacy. And we're told to come boldly. Have you ever thought about that? Crawling up in the lap of your Creator, God who made all this stuff, God who made you, and you're encouraged to call him daddy? It's pretty mind-blowing. There's no other faith religion system that is like that anywhere. Because religion, legalism, law means I'm doing something to appease someone else. Legalism says, I'm going to do this to impress someone else, whether it's you or God or someone else. I'm going to obey these rules to try and be this way to impress someone. Maybe God will be pleased with me. But grace and freedom says, Jesus did that for me already. And if you are a son, if you are a daughter, and you don't behave like that, it's craziness. That's why in the parable of the prodigal son, the father welcomes that son home. Not because of what the son has done in coming home or being sorry or any of that, but because he's a son. And everything the father has is his. So last week we watched a video I posted on Facebook. I have a lot of comments about it. And I thought it'd be good if we watched it again today and then look a little deeper into what it means to have our identity in Christ. Have a look at this. Thank you. Jesus plus nothing. Jesus doesn't need our rules. He doesn't need all the stuff we could bring him and say, look at me, and aren't I doing better now, and I'm better than... Jesus doesn't need any of that stuff. The gospel, salvation in Jesus, is based on what he's done, and he gives us a new identity. A guy by the name of Neil Anderson, wonderful author and teacher. He's got some great stuff. If you haven't checked out any of his teaching, you need to go there, freedominchrist.org, I believe. And we've got lots of his teachings in our library, and he teaches about spiritual warfare and victory over darkness and sin, and the foundational parts to get to that place where you're walking by the Spirit and depending on the Spirit. And some of the things that were prayed over Emily really are based on the foundation of our identity in Christ. Because if we try and walk some of the things Paul is about to get into in Galatians, if we try and do those things, they're just going to be new behaviors, new patterns to replace some of the old ones. And it's going to be based on what I can do in and of myself. I have willpower. That means I can attain a certain level of looking like a Christian on my own. I can, and you can too. But if you don't understand your identity in Christ, and if you're still obeying, even if you're doing good things, based on the fact that you think God is waiting for you to do those things in order to be close to him and called his child, you'll fail every time. And so our identity is key to understanding how we have victory over sin, how we learn to walk in this new identity, and how we walk in the Spirit, which is where Paul is going with all this. It's what Jesus plus nothing really means. It's how we live. It's how we walk. It's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so he's put together a great list of different facts from the Bible that tell us who we are in Christ. Three main sections. First of all, I am accepted. Okay? I'm going to move through these pretty quick, and I will post them either today or early this week, so if you want to look at them again, you can. I am accepted, okay? I am God's child. As a disciple, I'm a friend of Christ. Just let these sink in. I mean, sometimes we just kind of read these sentences. Think of God who created the earth. Now he views us as this. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done for you, because you are his son and daughter. I have been justified. That's a word that means he's made it right. He's made it all right. He's made it so I can relate to God again. He's taken away the punishment for sin. I am united with the Lord, and I am one with him in spirit. I have been bought with a price and belong to God. Another few about being accepted. I am a member of Christ's body. I have been chosen by God and adopted as his child. I have been redeemed and forgiven of my sins. So set free. I am complete in Christ. Sometimes we feel incomplete because we feel less than we should, and that means we're living out of our old selves, our old identity. We're putting on some of our old clothing over our Jesus shirt. I have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. We walk into the throne room of God in our hearts through prayer, crawl up on our daddy's lap, and talk to him. How awesome is that? Second thing is that I am secure. I am free from condemnation. God never, ever condemns his children, ever. Satan does that. If you feel guilty and ashamed, it's because Satan is doing that. The Holy Spirit drives you to repentance, to turn, and be set free. Satan always condemns. I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. I am free from any condemnation brought against me, and I cannot be separated from the love of God. Nothing will separate you from his love. He loves you. End of story. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. A few more verses about our security. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident that God will complete the good work he started in me. He accepts you as you are. Okay? He takes you as you are, but he's never content to leave you there. If you spend time growing in your relationship with God, he will never leave you where you're at. Ever, ever, ever. He's okay with where you're at, but he's not complete yet. I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, right? This fear, standing far away from God. Okay, I've been given a spirit of power, of love, and sound mind. Romans says, how do we begin the transformation process? What does God do? He changes our perspective. He transforms our minds. I am born of God, and the evil one, what? The evil one can't touch me. The evil one can't touch me. Thirdly, I am significant. Okay, our significance is not in what I've done, who I am, how good a Christian I am. My significance to God is in the fact that his son died for me, set me free, and I am now his son. I am a branch of Jesus Christ, a true vine, a channel of his life. I'm connected to him. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit as a branch. There is stuff that God wants me to do. You become a Christian through faith in Jesus because of the grace of God, and he sets you apart to do some things. He's got some stuff for you to do, bearing fruit. I am God's temple. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. He wants me to introduce others to him too because he loves them as well. You're not a child of God. Listen, you're not a child of God until you place faith in Jesus. We're not all God's children across the planet. No, he reserves that term of sonship, daughtership, if you will, to those who are in Christ. I am seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realm. My place is secure. I am God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Victory over sin, things he calls me to do. Going over to Australia, leaving my family and friends and doing whatever he calls me to. I am his son, his heir. Here's what I want you to understand. The closer your relationship to God, the more you will live out of your identity in Christ. Okay? The closer your relationship to God, the more you will live out of your identity in Christ. I want to switch that you into a me, and I want to say it together. Hopefully you can think on the fly. We'll say this a few times together, okay? So the closer my relationship to God, the more I will live out of my identity in Christ. Say it again. The closer my relationship to God, the more I will live out of my identity in Christ. One more time. The closer my relationship to God, the more I will live out of my identity in Christ. This is the difference between feeling I have to spend time with God, I have to go to church, I have to read my Bible, I have to be a good person, I have to do all these things, and wanting to. People who have to do these things are still stuck in law, still stuck in legalism, and it's still just religion. You may be a believer, but you're living a slave's life when you're a son. You've got all the inheritance. Remember, Paul says, look, those who are young and that the father passes away and the inheritance is theirs, until they've reached that maturity, they're no better than slaves because they're living, they own it, but they can't have it. And if you are living out of a sense of, if I have to, I must, I gotta, God wants to mature you a little bit. Because the closer your relationship to God, the more you learn to live out of your identity in him. The Bible says there's a few things you need to be spiritually healthy and to grow and be mature. One of those is gathering with other believers, generally once a week. We're told in Hebrews, you need to do that because otherwise you'll forget some things. You need others to encourage you to be loving and to do the things God's called you to do. You need to gather together. You need to learn to love one another. You need to be family to one another as God's family. And so you break up into some sort of smaller groups. You can't just have, 200, 400,000 people who gather. You need some sort of family. We offer small groups here for that. It doesn't have to be a program, whatever. Find a smaller group of Christians. You do life together and you learn to love deeply and who love you. Because it teaches you to love the world. And that's the third thing. You serve others. We're called to serve. God has stuff for us to do. Those are some things we do with others. On our own, to be mature, to grow in our identity. What are some of the things we do? We read books. We listen to podcasts. We go to conferences. Watch YouTube videos. All this stuff. But you know what? All those things are secondary. All of those things are secondary. The way that you grow in Christ is spending time with your daddy. The way you grow in Christ, the way you understand and start to live out of your identity is you spend time with your daddy. You spend time in prayer, which means talking, listening, and being silent. You spend time reading his word. We don't throw the law away. Jesus fulfilled it. It still points us to God's standard. It still clarifies when we're not sure. And it still tells us we can't do it on our own. You need that. And you need to worship. You need to worship. You need to spend time intimately, one-on-one, with your daddy. No other thing grows you up in Christ and understanding your identity than that. You got to do it. You got to be spending time with God. And here's what will happen as you mature. It will turn to from I have to I want to. You know what my heart is for all of you? That you would want to spend time with your daddy all the time. And that's where you begin to progress in your maturity in the Lord. Do you know why I'm so passionate about this? It's because I'm learning it myself. I don't think I can stand up here and say to you, I've fully matured and I always want to spend time with God and I always want to be with my daddy and I always go to him for everything. See, we're connected here. Life in Christ means that I have this personal relationship with my Abba Father, but that I'm to have that relationship in the context of my Christian family, because if I'm relating to God and I think the Holy Spirit's leading me in a certain way, sometimes I'm off. Sometimes I read God's word wrong in my immaturity, and I need others to challenge me and encourage me and rebuke me. I need to be working with others for what he's got called all my life. But if I'm not spending time alone with my daddy, if I'm not maturing, I will not walk and live out of my identity. Obedience to God because I have to is law and legalism and slavery. And that's what most people understand church to be or Christianity to be. And it's wrong. You still obey. You still obey your father. It doesn't change. God's standard has not changed. He's not saying, well, you're set free to do whatever you want. Paul says, everything's permissible, but you know what? Not everything's good. Not everything's going to lead you to experience abundant life in Christ. If you struggle with sin, God wants to set you free. If you're content to sit in that, you are going to miss out on some of the blessings he has for you. But he doesn't hold it over your head and he doesn't hold you guilty. He says, come to me. Come to me if you're weary and heavy and burdened. My burden's light. My yoke I place upon you is easy. You as the weaker ox, me as the strong one, and I will walk with you and strengthen you and do in you what you can't do. We need to want to. And you begin to want to obey as you spend more time with God. Do you know why we spend time with God? Because we become more like Christ. We are clothed in Christ, and when Christ becomes less of a jacket we pull on and off at certain times when we think it's appropriate, and more like skin, we begin to look more like him. Paul is getting us to a point where he wants us to understand how to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit of his Son is inside us and prompts us to call out Abba Father. Why? Because we need to walk and live from our identity if we're going to have victory. If we're going to understand the fruit of the Spirit, which is where we're headed, if we're going to understand what any of this is, the closer you are, there's a direct correlation, the closer you are to your Heavenly Father, the more you will live out of your identity in Christ rather than laws, rules, and regulation, because the law, even the Bible, can't address everything. You know what? I talked about this a few weeks ago. Red Letter Christians. And now there's an organization called Red Letter Christians. That's a great organization. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people who say, Jesus didn't say it, so I don't believe it. Okay? Jesus didn't talk about everything. Did he? No. What are some of the things he didn't talk about? Child abuse, rape, euthanasia, homosexuality, suicide. There's all sorts of stuff he didn't talk about specifically. But you can find counsel in his word generally. And you find the specific counsel in your heart when you're walking through some tough things. He doesn't mention cancer. He doesn't mention some of these things that rock our world, rip the bottom right out of our... You know what happens when your husband or your wife or your parent or your job or... We have the Spirit of God to talk to us about that specific thing. We go to God's word for counsel to make sure we're not hearing wrong, and we go to others for counsel so we make sure we're not walking wrong. God doesn't want us to lead a life of religiosity and legalism and making up more and more rules and regulations because we encounter more and different things. Of course Jesus didn't talk about everything because it wasn't 2015. It was like AD 28. And they had their own stuff. And he talked a lot about their own stuff. Is the Bible useless? No. We should have a passion for it. But not because we have to. Because we want to. We're heading to the Lord's table this morning. I call our servers up. And our worship team up. This is the reason our identity is different. This is a reminder of why we are free, of the difference in our hearts and our lives. And so as we come to the Lord's table, it's not limited to those who are members of Country Hills. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have believed in him and follow him and receive forgiveness, then this is his body and blood broken and shed for you so that you might be free, adopted as sons and heirs to the promise. And as you partake today, may you focus on that. This is the reason you're set free. And we're going to have the bread passed out, hold it in your hand, then the cup will be passed after. We'll partake together. Our wonderful servers will leave the trays at the back. As you're leaving, just put your cups back there. You can feel free to sing along, or you can sit quiet. But may our focus be on the reality that I am not defined by my past. I am not defined by my old person. I am new. And if you're not walking that, feeling that, if it doesn't seem to be a reality, ask God to do some things in your heart in the coming days and months and years that would set in as a way to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you have done and will continue to do in us. Thank you that our identity is secure in you. Our salvation is secure in you. Thank you that you let us wrestle through the experience of that as we become more and more like your Son. Father, for those here this morning who are struggling with this, it's an effort to see themselves as anything but broken and a failure. I ask, Spirit, that you would speak in your still small voice to the core of that person's, those people's being, to rip away the shame and the condemnation and allow them to understand how you view each one of us in you. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope. Your presence, Lord. I have tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when a heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become, more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become, more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." He took the cup, he said, "This is my blood shed for your freedom, shed for your identity. All things become new." Let's eat together. Abba, Father, Daddy, we don't deserve any of this. There's no reason we should experience salvation or freedom or new life. But you love us, and we thank you for that. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for calling us as your heirs to your promise, a promise we don't deserve. Father, I pray the experience of our hearts would be abundant and eternal life day by day as we live out of our identity. Father, for those who are struggling in some weakness or sin that's been ongoing, God, I pray that as we grasp our identity and run after you, those things would just be shaken off like old chains that aren't locked anymore. Father, thank you that we can be together this morning. It's good to be here. Father, thank you for the other churches in our city and in our province and our country and the world who've met today as well. May we all have a sense of who we are in you, and may we live out of that. Holy Spirit, remind us every moment of every day to run to our Daddy, to spend time, mature us, grow us, that we might walk in the Spirit. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you for being here this morning. It's been good to be together, hasn't it? Lord bless you as you go. Have a great week. If you're able to stick around for some coffee and visit, I encourage you to do that. Stack your cups at the back. Stack the chairs where they are and have a wonderful week.